Caesar Rodney. Years passed, and the counties on the Delaware, under the wise laws of William Penn, grew and prospered. Dover was laid out and settled. New Castle flourished. Lewes became a town. Instead of the rough buildings of the early settlers, handsome country houses and comfortable farms were to be seen. The manners and customs of the people were still very plain and simple. Very few foreign articles were used in this part of the country. Clothes were woven, cut, and sewed at home. Beef, pork, poultry, milk, butter, cheese, wheat, and Indian corn were raised on the farms. The fruit trees yielded freely, and there was a great deal of wild game. The people lived not only comfortably, but luxuriously. The counties on the Delaware were very fertile, and very little labor was needed to make the land yield all that was required. The people had a great deal of leisure time for visiting and pleasure. They were always gathering together at one house or another, the younger people to dance or frolic, and the older men to amuse themselves with wrestling, running races, jumping, throwing the disc, and other rustic and manly exercises. On Christmas Eve, there was a universal firing of guns, and all through the holidays, the people traveled from house to house, feasting and eating twelfth cake and playing games. So, for years, life slipped pleasantly by in these southern counties, and then, suddenly, there came a change. There began to be talk of war with England. News was eagerly watched for. There was no mail at that time. Letters were carried by stagecoach or by messengers riding on horseback from town to town. In the old days, the people had been content to send their servants for letters. Now, when a messenger, hot and dusty, came galloping into the town, a crowd would be waiting and would gather round him. And it was thrilling news that the dusty messengers carried in those days, the days of 1775. England was determined to tax her colonies, and the colonies were rising in rebellion. Boston had thrown whole cargoes of tea into her harbor rather than pay the taxes on it. Then the first shots of the Revolution were fired at Concord and Lexington. At the sound of those shots, the counties on Delaware awoke. Drums were beat, muskets were cleaned, ladies sewed flags for the troops to carry, men enlisted, and the militia drilled. But still it was hoped by many that things would settle back peaceably. But worse and worse news came from the north. Boston Harbor had been shut up by the English. The people were starving. Warships from England had brought over more troops, many of them hired Germans, and had quartered them on the town. All the country was hot with anger over these things. Food and clothing were sent to Boston. General Washington raised troops of 1,000 men at his own expense and marched north to her relief. General Caesar Rodney was one of the important men of Dover at that time. He was a tall, pale, strange-looking man with flashing eyes and a face, as we are told, no larger than a good-sized apple. He was a general in the militia and was heart and soul for independence. He rode about the country, calling meetings, speaking to the people, and urging them to enlist, and urging them, too, to raise money to give to the government. He was at this time suffering from a painful disease, but he spared neither strength nor comfort in the cause of freedom. Mr. George Read of Newcastle was a very important man in the colonies, too. He was a patriot and belonged to the militia, but he was very anxious not to begin a war. He argued that the time might come when the colonies would have to be free, but he thought that time had not yet come. He hoped that when it did, the colonies might win their freedom peaceably and not by battle and bloodshed. He was a calm, quiet, learned man, rather slow of speech, and different in many ways from his quick and fiery friend, Rodney. A third man who was important in colonial times was Mr. Thomas McKean. He was a lawyer in Newcastle and was a friend of both these men. Like Rodney, he was for freedom at any cost. In 1776, when the Colonial Congress was called to meet in Philadelphia, these three men, Rodney, Reed, and McKean, were sent to it as delegates by the counties on the Delaware. This meeting of Congress in the summer of 1776 was the most important meeting that had ever been held. From north and south, the delegates came riding to it, from all the 13 colonies, and they met in the committee room of the State House in Philadelphia. Many serious questions were to be decided by these delegates this year, but the most serious of all the questions was whether the colonies should declare themselves free and independent states. If they did this, it would mean war with England. While the question was still argued about in the committee room, Caesar Rodney was sent for to come back to the counties on the Delaware. Riots and quarrels and disturbances had broken out there, and no one could quiet them as well as Caesar Rodney. He was very glad to go, for it seemed as though it might be a long time before the delegates would decide on anything, and he hoped to be able to raise some money for the government. He started out early one morning on horseback, cantering easily along through the cool of the day. It was 80 miles from Philadelphia to Dover, and he broke it by stopping overnight at Newcastle, which was rather more than halfway home. The road he took was the old King's High Road, which ran on down through the counties on Delaware, through Wilmington and Newcastle, and Dover, as far as Lewes. General Rodney found a great deal to do down in the counties. The Whigs and Tories had come to blows. One Tory gentleman only just escaped being tarred and feathered and carried on a rail. Caesar Rodney was the one who had to quiet all the troubles. Beside this, he made speeches, raised monies, and helped get together fresh troops of militia. But busy though he was, he managed to find some time for visiting about among his friends. Especially, he found time to visit at the house of a young Quaker widow named Sarah Rowland. Mistress Rowland lived in Lewes. She was a Tory, but she was very beautiful and witty, and Caesar Rodney was said to be in love with her. He might often have been seen, between his busy times, cantering along the road that led to Lewes and to her house. Mistress Rowland, as a Quaker, believed all fighting to be wrong, but she was always friendly with the general. Perhaps she hoped in some way to be able to help the Tories by things the general told her, or by having him at her house. At any rate, she always made him welcome. Now, while General Rodney was still busy down in the counties on the Delaware with his work and pleasure, great things were happening in Philadelphia. The Declaration of Independence was finally drawn up and written out. It was laid on the table before the Colonial Congress, and the delegates were given 5 days to make up their minds to agree whether they would sign it or not. They considered and discussed it in secret, behind closed doors. One after another, the delegates from various colonies agreed to sign. At last, only the counties of the Delaware were needed to carry the agreement. They could not sign the declaration, for they had now only 2 delegates present at Congress. Of these, 1, McKean, was for it, and 1, Mr. Reed, was against it, so it was a tie between them, and Rodney, whose vote could have decided the matter, was down in the counties on Delaware, 80 miles away. McKean was in despair. He sent message after message down to Delaware, begging the general to return to Philadelphia and give his deciding vote, but no answer came. The fact was that General Rodney did not receive any of these messages McKean sent. He was visiting Mistress Rowland in Lewes at the time, and she managed to keep the letters back from him. She hoped that he might know nothing about the declaration until it had been voted on and the whole matter decided. Even if all the other colonies decided to sign, it would weaken the Union very much if the colonies on the Delaware did not sign. On the 3rd of July, McKean sent a last message down to Rodney, passionately begging him to come to Philadelphia. The vote of the delegates was to be taken July the 4th, and if the general was not there, the vote of the counties on Delaware could not be cast for the Declaration of Independence, and it might be lost. On this same day, July the 3rd, 1776, Caesar Rodney was chatting with Mistress Rowland in the parlor of her house at Lewes, so one tradition goes. It had seemed strange to him that he had not heard from McKean lately, but he felt sure that if anything important were happening at Philadelphia, he would receive word at once. So he put his anxieties aside and laughed and talked with the widow. Suddenly the parlor door was thrown open, and a maid servant came into the room. She crossed over to where General Rodney was sitting. "There," she cried, "I'm an honest girl, and I won't keep those back any longer." And she threw a packet of letters into the general's lap. Rodney picked them up and looked at them. They were in Mr. McKean's handwriting. Hastily he ran through them. They were the letters Sarah Rowland had been keeping back, the letters begging and imploring him to hasten north to Philadelphia. Without a word, General Rodney started to his feet and ran out to where his horse was standing before the house. Sarah Rowland called to him, but he did not heed her. He sprang to the saddle and gathered up the reins, and a moment later he was galloping madly north toward Dover. It was a long ride, but a longer still was before him. The heat was stifling, and the dust rose in clouds as he thundered along the King's High Road. At Dover he stopped to change his horse, and here he was met by McKean's last messenger with a letter urging him to haste, haste. Indeed, there was not an hour to waste. Philadelphia was 80 miles away, and the vote was to be taken the next morning. On went Rodney on his fresh horse. Daylight was gone. The moon sailed slowly up the sky, and the trees were clumps of blackness on either hand as he rode. At Chester he again changed horses, but he did not stop for either rest or food. Soon he was riding on again. It was in the morning of July 4th that the rider, exhausted and white with dust, drew rein before the State House door in Philadelphia. McKean was there watching for him. "Am I in time?" called Rodney as he swung himself from his horse. "In time, but no more," answered McKean. Side by side, he and Rodney entered Independence Hall. There sat the delegates in a semicircle. Rodney and McKean took their places. The Declaration of Independence lay on the table before them. It was being voted on. One after the other, the colonies were called on, and one after another, they gave their votes for it. The counties on Delaware were called on. Mr. McKean rose and voted for it. Mr. Reed was, as usual, against it. Then Caesar Rodney rose in his place. His face looked white and worn under its dust, but he spoke in a clear, firm voice. "I vote for independence." And so the day was won. From the belfry of Independence Hall, the bells pealed out over the Quaker City, bonfires blazed out, people shouted for joy, and the 13 American colonies, strong in union, stood pledged together for liberty.